Now, having declared
that they are nourished by the law, nourished by the Dharma, the four great kings make four promises, four vows. We've already seen what these are. One, they promise to rule by the Dharma, to exercise their sovereignty over the different classes of demigods in accordance with the Dharma, which means that their rule will not be an expression of arbitrary, egoistic will. It will be an expression of spiritual power. Not their own power, but the power of the Dharma. They will be simply the channels through which this power is transmitted, through which it reaches the hordes of non-human beings. And in being such channels, they will be all the more truly themselves. Two, they promise to protect the whole of Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is the known material world. It's the human world. So the four great kings promise to keep out all hostile forces, all forces that threaten to disrupt the fabric of a positive, healthy human society. Better to say, a society in which it is possible for the individual to develop. At present, the services of the four great kings are very badly needed. In fact, at present, their strength is being strained to the utmost, especially here in our Western Quarter. Hostile forces, we may say, are trying to break in at a number of points. Third, the four great kings promise to protect the monks who proclaim the sutra, who read or recite it, and who explain its meaning. They promise to give them their encouragement. This can be understood in two ways, objectively and subjectively. Objectively, it means that the grosser energies of the cosmos will cooperate with the monks in their work of proclaiming the sutra, of making known the golden light. Subjectively, it means that the monks themselves will utilize their own grosser psychophysical energies for this purpose, means that they will integrate such energies. After all, one needs a lot of energy to proclaim the Dharma. Not only spiritual energy, even physical energy, even physical stamina. So this too, the four great kings promise to give. And fourthly, they promise to protect kings who patronize monks who proclaim the sutra. Here, of course, kings means governments. Means kings who patronize monks, that is to say, means social and economic and political systems which assist spiritual development. Systems which are in fact organized to this end. Such kings, kings who patronize the monks, patronize the monks who proclaim the Sutra of Golden Light, perform in their respective kingdoms the same function as the four great kings perform in the cosmos at large. It's only natural, therefore, that the former should be protected by the latter. They represent the same spirit, the same principle, on different levels of operation. We'll have something to say about this in the last lecture in the series when we consider the upholders of the moral order. So we can now see quite clearly what the four promises or four vows made by the four great kings in general represent. We can see what is meant by the four great kings listening to the sutra, what is meant by them undertaking to protect the sutra. It means that the four great kings submit themselves to the sutra. Submit themselves to the Dharma. The hordes of non-human beings submit themselves to the four great kings, or are made to submit. Similarly, the four great kings submit themselves to the golden light. In other words, the earthly energies submit to the heavenly energies, and the heavenly energies submit to the transcendental energies, which means that we're introduced here to the profound principle of spiritual hierarchy. The four great kings can even be said to symbolize this principle. They exercise sovereignty over what is below them. At the same time, they willingly accept the sovereignty of what is above them. The four great kings therefore also represent the principle of world transformation. The world can be transformed, truly transformed, only if it submits to the golden light, only if it is receptive to the golden light. That is to say, only if it organizes itself in such a way as to assist the manifestation of the golden light in the life of the individual. Now, it's not only the four great kings who come forward and promise to protect the sutra. In subsequent chapters, chapters subsequent to chapter 6, other deities come forward and make similar promises. In particular, three goddesses come forward. These are Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, Shri, the goddess of wealth, and Ridha, the earth goddess. And they too promise to protect the sutra. The four great kings' promise represents the general principle of transformation of the world through submission to the golden light, and the three goddesses' promises represent the working out of that same principle in different spheres of human life and human activity. And what these spheres are, and how that principle works out in them, we shall be seeing in the course of the next three lectures.